Hi, I'm Rob Wright from CRN, and I'm here with Ed Moulton, the managing editor of CRN's Test Center in Manhasset, New York, and we are here to discuss the wide world of tablets, the hot device right now in the IT industry. Ed, thanks for coming on and chatting with us.
Hey, no problem. This is a very fun topic for me these days.
You guys have gotten a lot in the test center, a lot of devices, and I figured we'd just start with the most recent one that you reviewed. I believe that's the BlackBerry Playbook, correct?
Yes. I've had the chance to really get a good look at Research in Motion's BlackBerry Playbook, and it's very impressive in a number of areas. It leaves you wanting more in some others. I think ultimately the Playbook is going to be a big player. It's certainly, I don't think, going to ever overtake the iPad or even many of the Android tablets, but I think it's got some great potential in some specific areas.
And one of the things that was kind of a sticking point I remember in hearing about this at CES, I actually got to handle the playbook a little bit and learn a little bit about it, was there were some questions about its functionality and did it need to be kind of tethered to a BlackBerry device to get the full the full functionality of the playbook. And what have you found, I guess, in that regard?
Well, no, I mean, look, it's an independent device. A couple of things. It's running what's really a brand new operating system. It's
Right.
running the BlackBerry tablet OS, which is heavily influenced by the Unix-based operating system. And Research in Motion has taken it. It's made it their own. It's woven in quite a bit of technology from Adobe with respect to what they use in terms of Flash. So it's got all that going for it. And in terms of the software, which is really in many ways the make or break aspect of a tablet, I think that the BlackBerry tablet OS is fine. And from a functionality standpoint, the OS itself, I think, is very competitive with Android and iOS, which is Apple's operating system for iPhone and iPad. So from a software perspective, RIM really seems to have done a good job here in making a very nice mobile OS that seems secure and provides the ability eventually to work well with networks.
So what are the challenges then? I mean, is it apps or is it the I guess the processing power of the device, or
Well,
what?
from a hardware and performance perspective, again, it's great. There's no, and I'll talk about the hardware in a moment. I think you hit the nail on the head when you talked about apps. In the BlackBerry Playbook App Store, it's called the BlackBerry App World. There are really only about 3,000 apps that work with the BlackBerry Playbook and the BlackBerry tablet OS. 3,000. Now, that might sound like a lot, but when you consider that apps in the iPhone and iPad world are now in the hundreds of thousands, it really puts it into perspective. And quite frankly, a number of the apps that are available now that work on the Playbook platform are really not very good. They're very hastily written, cheap, that that it just a lot to be desired when it comes to the Playbook ecosystem, if you want to call it that. And apps are what really will draw people to a tablet OS or a tablet device. What can you do with it once you get it? I think that could be resolved over time. Adobe, for one, with their Creative Suite, they've promised to bring their creative applications to the Playbook as a platform. And if Adobe brings, say, Photoshop into the Playbook, if they can do that would be a game changer. So we'll see what they're able to do and how well they're able to do it. But that's a major major drawback for the BlackBerry Playbook. But you know what? I'll tell you one thing about Research in Motion and one thing about the BlackBerry franchise we kind of forget now. we tend to have a short memory in this business, but it was Research in Motion with the BlackBerry that first started getting the world addicted to smart devices. You know, they didn't call them crackberries for nothing. And
right.
There's this culture at Research in Motion that still exists that can really suck people in and get them hooked on their technology. So I'm not going to write them off. I think they've got some great potential with the playbook, and I'm telling VARs that they've really got to check it out when they're thinking about solutions, tablet solutions for their customers.
Yeah, I have to say, I mean, I didn't get to do much with it at CES. They were very guarded, RIM was, at the event in terms of, I mean, and some of the displays or some of the areas of the show floor and it, you know, like Showstoppers and other events, they literally had the playbook in a glass case and you couldn't even handle it. But at one point on the show floor, they were letting members of the press kind of, you know, play around with it and handle it. And it seemed like a pretty good device. It was definitely, I know you and I were talking previously about just the physical design of it. It seemed like it was a quality device. I just want to jump back to the point about applications. Are we at the point now where already, I guess, in the short history of the new tablet, I guess, not the tablet from 10 years ago, where, you know, the actual device itself doesn't, it's sort of irrelevant in terms of the size and the shape and, you know, I mean, they're all sort of generic. Really what you're talking about as a differentiator is the operating system, or at least the application ecosystem. Is that really what's going to differentiate the devices going forward?
Absolutely. And you know, I'll just, you know, I for either fortunately or unfortunately, I've been around, I've been covering this business for 17 years, and I can remember the early part of that time, the very beginning stages, there was a battle between Microsoft with its Windows platform, IBM with OS2, and Apple with its Mac platform. There was a battle for the hearts, and minds of software developers, of app developers, and Microsoft really just crushed its competition when it really evangelized and won over a lot of software developers to the Windows platform, and that's where the killer apps wound up going, with Windows-based systems, and you know that really had a major effect in the early stages of the PC industry. You probably remember everything was an IBM compatible PC back then.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Well, once Microsoft won over the hearts and minds of the development community, it really became nobody talked about IBM compatible anymore. They talked about other things, and Microsoft changed the terms. Now I think what you're going to see with tablets is certainly. Apple has made it as simple as possible for people, for anyone, even with very, very limited software writing backgrounds, to write apps.
Mm-hmm.
And Android, it's free. The SDK is free. It's an open source system. So again, it's kind of easy to write for the Android platform as well if you have a little bit of a software background there. And I think, we'll see what Research in Motion can do with developers for its platform. So, yeah, again, this is what's going to happen, I think, is whoever wins the hearts and minds of developers is going to probably win the war here.
Mm-hmm. And right now with the software development kits, in terms of ease of use, who do you give the edge to? Do you give it to Apple with iOS or?
Yeah, I mean, it's $100 for 1 year subscription to Apple's developer program, $99 to be accurate. And what they've done is they've really made it as turnkey as possible for folks to write apps. And they've also created a platform where you don't even need to be part of their developer program to write what are called web apps. That's, you know, apps using certain web standards that are custom tailored for the iOS platform. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I think the proof is in the numbers, and the numbers show hundreds of thousands of apps written for Apple's iOS platform. And that's because largely, of Apple's ability to just make it very, very simple to write apps. Now, software developers do complain that, Apple's got this lengthy process, this convoluted process for having apps approved for the Apple iTunes App Store,
mm-hmm.
And that Apple exerts maybe too much control or has too much of a bureaucracy. But you got to say that, you know, Apple hasn't had the issues that the Android platform has seen with respect to security and
right.
and some apps that really shouldn't be available to the downloading public. So, I think Apple has clearly gotten the edge when it comes to, winning over the developers.
So what else have you reviewed, played around with? What are some of the other devices that you've seen lately?
Well, you know, I had an opportunity. I haven't had a chance to do a thorough review, but I'm absolutely surprised. You know, we've heard a lot about the Motorola Zoom, and we've heard a lot about the Samsung Galaxy, and I think those are going to be very, very strong products. But I was absolutely floored when I had an opportunity to look at the ePad Transformer, which is, an Android tablet and Android device from Asus.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, you got to give Asus your proper attention, because this is the company that pretty much invented the netbook, which took the industry by storm 3-4 years ago.
Indeed, yeah.
Yeah, they created an entire product line that was a runaway hit. So they kind of understand, to a certain degree, what will capture the market's attention. Now, with the ePad Transformer, what they've done is they've put together, what you would look at is what they would say is the best of both worlds in terms of a netbook and a tablet. It looks like a netbook, the Transformer does, but when you open up the clamshell, you can simply unhook the display from the keyboard, and that display becomes the handheld tablet. It looks very, very much like an iPad.
Mm.
And I know for someone like me, when I'm on the road now, I bring both a notebook and I bring my iPad, because there are certain things I do with the tablet, certain things I do with the notebook, because of the form factors that are so different. Well, with Asus now, you're just going to need one because, it transforms. It can go from a netbook or a slate into a tablet, and I was really impressed, with their design and the elegance of the ePad Transformer. I think if they can put some marketing behind it and certainly work with their channel partners, it could be a real surprise hit, come the fourth quarter of this year.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that, because one of the things that the last 2 years at CES has really, turned a lot of heads, won a lot of awards, won a lot of accolades, was Lenovo's U1 IdeaPad U1 Hybrid, which is like it's like a IdeaPad notebook combined with a detachable display that can be used as a tablet, a slate. And they showed it this year, and I loved it last year, but they showed it this year, and the notebook device, the IdeaPad, was running Windows 7, and when you detached the screen and used it as a separate tablet, it was it had Android Honeycomb, Android 3.0 on it, and it was like the best of both worlds. And like you said, I think a device like that for people like you and I that are on the road a lot and are sometimes now going to be bringing their notebooks and their tablets together, having it packed into one form factor and being able to carry multiple, different OSs or environments with you, it's pretty compelling.
Absolutely. And for anyone who's had an iPad and tried to type a document or do some basic work. You know, you can do it. You know, Apple has done an okay job, putting that touch keyboard right into the iPad, but it can't replace, a full keyboard. Mm-hmm. and I think, these types of devices will become popular with people who need that real keyboard and not a touchscreen keyboard.
Right. Well, I know you took a look at some others, including, I believe, the ViewSonic ViewPads.
Yeah. Now I want to, this will help me transition into talking about the ViewPad. You mentioned that, with the device you can work in a Windows environment.
Yep.
And then switch to an Android environment. Well, I got to tell you that, with ViewSonic's ViewPad 10. They do that into one tab. They do that in one tablet. You can,
yeah,
on boot up, either choose Windows 7 or Android. And, that has a really important benefit for folks who need access to Windows-based applications, whether they're on a tablet or on a notebook. And an example of that is, Word or Outlook, to do basic, work, basic productivity. Microsoft has not really made its Office franchise available for any tablet platform. There are variations, and there are third-party developers who make software that supports, Windows Office file extensions. But they don't have Office.
You
can't run Office on a tablet.
Yeah.
But with ViewSonic, you can choose between Windows or Android on the ViewPad 10, and you really don't have to make that sacrifice. And because, Android as an operating system is open source and it's free, they've recognized that, and you're not paying a premium for the Android operating system. And,
right.
And the universe of apps that you get by being able to use an Android OS. So I think when you have these dual boot, systems that allows you to keep one foot in both worlds, Windows and Android or whatever else the other operating system might be.
Yeah, you get to hedge your bet a little instead of getting stuck with in one environment and enjoy the best of both worlds. Yeah.
Yeah, RIM is at RIM with the BlackBerry Playbook. Going back to that, they're going to try to address it their own way. And this is kind of a unique effort. What they're doing is later this summer, they will have available on the Playbook platform an app called the Android Player. And what it really will amount to is a virtualized Android environment where on the Playbook, you will then have access to the entire universe of Android apps.
Huh.
Playing them in a full Android environment right on the Playbook. So you'll have a BlackBerry tablet OS with a virtualized Android environment, so you'll be able to run apps from both platforms. And you know what? If they're successful with that, you can probably count on other vendors going the virtual route as well and creating virtual environments where you can run apps from more than one ecosystem. So, keep your eye on that. I mean, technology can do funny things to platforms and make them useful in ways we hadn't thought before. And I think RIM may be onto something if they can make this Android Player work and deliver some good performance.
Who knows? Maybe Apple will make a bootcamp version for the iOS, and you can start running other operating systems on.
Yeah. I mean, I think that. I can see the people lining up now to run Windows on their iPad.
Yeah.
That's a little sarcastic, but.
No, I know.
But what? You know what? If it makes business sense, and from Apple's perspective, if it makes technical sense, it might be something that they'd consider.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you bring that up, and before we jump into a few more tablets, it seems like in talking with a lot of vendors right now that the Windows. It's kind of an afterthought on the tablet. It's not really. I know that Lenovo showed one a Windows 7 prototype tablet at CES. I think Toshiba's tablet, which was actually a really well designed. I don't know if you've had a chance to see it. A really nice form factor, nice device to hold. It's got a rubberized back that makes it very easy to grip. I think their tablet, which is yet to be released, was running on Windows 7. But there aren't a lot of Windows 7 tablets out there.
No, they're not. And it's because, you know, Windows 7 really wasn't designed from the ground up to be a touch-friendly, tablet-friendly operating system. And I think, you know, we're starting to hear some comments out of Microsoft, including from the CEO, that, you know, hey, keep an eye for next year on Windows 8, because when Windows 8 is out, you know, we'll have Windows 8 for tablets, Windows 8 for notebooks, Windows 8 for desktops. And I will say, I've been looking the last couple of weeks at Windows Phone 7 as a platform. And, you know, I think that might be getting people in the industry may be selling Windows Phone 7 short because, you know, Microsoft has had a very tattered, track record when it comes to mobile devices. But, you know, what they've managed to do with Windows Phone 7, and they could do it with Windows 8 as well, is really tightly integrate the Office environment, SharePoint, Word, Excel, Exchange. They've really, really tightly integrated that. And I think if it really is worth looking at if you're a VAR, to see if it's something that could bring value to a customer in a Windows heavy enterprise. Mm-hmm. And I think if they can do some of the things with Windows 8 that they've started to do with Windows Phone 7, Microsoft is a big company. I wouldn't want to count them out of anything. And I think, around this time next year, this could be a much different conversation, depending on what they're able to do with Windows 8.
So are there any other tablet devices that you've seen or played around with, reviewed, whatever, that you think are worth checking out if you're a VAR out there and you're looking to get into that space?
I'd like to talk about the Zoom for a second. I think insofar as it goes, you know, Zoom is an elegant device. Mm. They were one of the earliest adopters of the latest tablet-based version of Android, the Honeycomb version.
Yeah.
But one thing that gives me a little bit of pause about the Zoom is that the folks at Motorola's Enterprise Mobility that part of their business, they're hesitant about providing at this point enterprise class mobility devices, because they really want to make sure that Android is secure enough, that it's manageable enough, and that it's enterprise ready before they put it into some of their enterprise mobility products. And of course, the requirements for an enterprise are much different than the requirements for a consumer. And I think they're rightly concerned about Android going into the enterprise. So, you know, Motorola as a company, and I think you pinpointed it with Toshiba, these are companies that have some of the most brilliant hardware engineers in the world. And I don't think hardware is going to be a problem for any of these companies. It's going to be on the software side where they're going to really have to take a good hard look at what they present to both the consumer and the enterprise and to businesses.
Yeah.
So I think lots of very elegant hardware out there. I think the Galaxy from Samsung is a fine device, 7-inch screen, 7-inch form factor. I think that's going to be, I guess, outside of the iPad, the 7-inch tablet is going to be, something that the market tries to settle in on when it comes to tablet form factors. We'll see that the hardware is going to be the hardware right now is beautiful and very well done. It's going to be the software that becomes the issue. So we'll keep our eyes on that.
This would have been so much easier, the tablet game, for these guys if Windows had just come out with a tablet friendly OS, and then they wouldn't have to be waiting on, you know, to see if Android was secure or if they should be looking at other options. So,
you know, well, I'll tell you, I think they can clear up a lot of those doubts and a lot of those fears over the course of the next year. You know, getting back to Windows Phone 7, when I first got it out of the box, you know, I was expecting to get something like a Zune with a dial pad on it, and and I was very, very pleasantly surprised. You know, I was talking about hardware before, you know, and the hardware is very, very elegant. One area where the hardware does fall short, I believe, is in the onboard storage
on
the storage capacity. You know, only at the very, very highest end of the market now can you get as much as 64 gigs of onboard storage capacity. And you know what? That's not going to be enough. These devices, these tablet devices, are now data creation devices. Everything from video cameras, you know, you have barcode scanning apps now, for example, that can work with a playbook, that can work with an Android device. So your tablet now is a barcode scanner. They're not just tablets. They're data creation devices. They're going to require a lot of storage down the road. And I haven't seen any of the manufacturers developing tablets that are elegant but also provide enough storage capacity to handle all of this coming onslaught of data that everyone, not just businesses, but consumers are going to be creating. I think over the next 2 years, you're going to see such an avalanche of data digital data that's created by these smart devices, smartphones and tablets, that it could be overwhelming if the manufacturers don't do something in terms of storage capacity.
I totally agree, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that's one of the things for me personally on the consumer side that's kind of held me back from making that investment. I mean, I want a lot of storage, and I kind of, one of the things that really bugs me about the pricing that we're seeing across the board in a lot of these tablet devices is the way they sort of escalate the pricing based on adding, you know, the jump between 16 gigabyte of storage and 32. And it just kills me, because it's really not that difficult to have, you know, to add that much more storage. But you're right, it seems like they're holding back on it. Like they're having difficulty making, you know, a device that's thin and elegant and sleek, and also, you know,
and has more than enough. Life.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. Battery life and more than 64 gigabyte of storage. And it's just, you know, I'm sure we'll see that improve in the next year or so. But right now, you're right, it is kind of a obstacle for the enterprise. And before I let you go, I guess looking at all these tablets, then are you you still putting the iPad sort of at the top of the hill right now in terms of everything? I mean, usability, functionality, apps, design.
Absolutely. I think the functionality, you know, the performance, you know, just the design, I think it still sets Apple apart. I think the big screen, the bigger screen that Apple provides on the iPad, I think does set it apart. But really, what really is the differentiator at this point is the universe of software that works on the iPad as opposed to the other platforms, and not just how much software, how many apps, but the fact that they really work well, and Apple really has done a pretty good job of quality control in determining what makes the iTunes App Store and what you can put on the iPad, and that sets it apart, and it looks like it's going to continue to set it apart at least for the next year, maybe more, and you know, after that, everyone else is an also ran.
Yeah, do you foresee you know, a point in the next year or so, though, when sort of the lack of memory, the lack of inputs, USB, things like that, are going to catch up with the iPad, and that it may be, you know, Apple may be forced to sort of add some of the functions and the inputs.
You know, I mean, they could wind up, you know, providing, for example, an SD card slot.
Yeah.
And that'll buy it some time, but you know, eventually, all these manufacturers, Apple included, are going to have to find a way to include more onboard capacity.
Yeah,
yeah, but you know, a couple of tweaks, you know, micro SD card, SD card support, you know, USB support, that would all go a long way toward, I guess, giving them some more time to engineer in a, you know, a solution, a longer term solution.
Well, Ed, I appreciate the time. This was a lot to digest. I know you guys have been really busy there in the test center with all the devices and all the products in general coming in. So,
hey, Rob, the party's just getting started. Yeah, we're going to be on this for a while.
Exactly.
Thanks for giving me the chance to talk about it.
All right. I'm Rob Wright for CRN, and thanks for listening.